Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown. This is Bass Fan Radio. And with me today is Mike Sermon. And, Mike, you guys have been dodging the hurricane bullets every week.
Yeah, Terry, we've been very fortunate down here, you know, that we've had, well, we thought we were going to have three in a row, but it looks like Ivan now is going to miss us and go up towards the panhandle of Florida or towards, you know, somewhere to Alabama or whatever. But, yeah, we actually have. We've had two that hit Florida. One actually about 30 miles from the house, just a little bit further north, but we were fortunate. We didn't get a lot of damage. Actually, where we were, a lot of other people in Florida weren't, you know, didn't do quite as well, but we were very fortunate.
Well, I guess the thing everybody thinks about when they think about a hurricane, of course, is the wind, but in reality, it's the rain, too, and the amount of rain that you get in a short period of time, so I'm sure your lakes are pretty full.
Yeah, they really are. We had a lot of flooding, locally flooding and things. Our main lake down here, which is Lake Okeechobee, we were very fortunate, I think, that the water management people had the lake fairly low from the normal summertime deal, if you will, but it was low, and we got a lot of wind, a lot of rain, but the rain only brought the lake up. It's such a huge lake. It only brought the lake up about a little over a foot, but it was low enough that that really didn't get a lot of damage, even though there was a lot of wind. Normally what happens on Lake Okeechobee is if you get a lot of real high wind and the water's high, it rips up all the grass. And the grass is what makes Okeechobee so special and such a great lake. But the water being as low as it was this year when the hurricanes hit, that it really didn't do a lot of damage. So there was some damage to a lot of the bait camps and the trailer parks and little homes around the lake and things, but the lake itself, I think, is going to be fine within a few weeks when it settles down and clears up a little bit.
Well, you know, I think as a guy that fishes Lake Okeechobee a lot, you know, when springtime comes around, the tour season starts, the FLW Tour in particular for you, you're always looking for wind being a disadvantage at times, because if you get that good south wind, then the north end of the lake isn't as good. If you get a north wind, the south end of the lake isn't as good because it gets stirred up a lot. I'm sure it's pretty stirred up right now.
Yeah, right now it's really been, I mean, there's a few places that are still semi-clear, but most of them are pretty dirty right now. There was 100-mile-an-hour winds as far inland as Lake Okeechobee. So whenever you have 100-mile-an-hour winds, the offshore of Lake Okeechobee pretty well stays dirty year-round. And so when you've got all that wind and you have dirty water offshore, it really pushed the water, you know, in the whichever direction the wind was blowing, and then after the wind kind of goes by, then it all goes back to the other side. So it ends up pretty well messing up, you know, the whole lake.
Well, it's such a great fishery, and we hope that it rebounds real well from the hurricanes. Now, you know, when you talk about a lake like that, and you've got a reputation as being one of the best fishermen on that lake, you know, you won the first FLW event that was ever had, that was ever taken place, and it's a situation where when you look at how that lake has had its ups and downs. Right now it's on a resurgence, right?
You know, it really is. The lake is fishing as good as I've ever seen it. I mean, I've only fished a few tournaments there this year because I traveled so much, but I tell you a prime example of how good it's fishing. I guess about 3 months ago I fished a tournament, and I won the tournament and had 32 pounds, I think, and which was a good catch, but it was a team tournament. But about, I guess, a month later, I weighed in 24 pounds, and I didn't even come close to getting a check. The guys that won it ended up with six fish, weighed 42 pounds. There was lots of 30-pound stringers. And my 24 pounds, I think I ended up in 29th place with 24 pounds. So you can tell how good the lake was fishing before this hurricane.
Well, I know that the techniques, a lot of flipping techniques, a lot of trap, you go out and throw the rattle trap some, but also the Gambler products that you're the president of has done pretty well down there too.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny though. This time of year, and I think a lot of the big fish get caught early in the morning, and one of the key baits that I don't know if a lot of people around the country know about, but it's a flapping shad. And it's just a bait that's a soft plastic that's got a paddle on the back that you use it like a buzz bait. And those big fish, first thing in the morning on Lake Okeechobee in the summertime, the fish just go crazy. I mean, it's literally very easy to catch 30 to, you know, 40 fish in the first 2 hours in the morning. And that flapping shad just covers a lot of water. And you just make a long cast and buzz it on the top. And it's just notorious for catching, you know, really big fish also. And so that's what, everybody seems to throw first thing in the morning is that flapping shad, and it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's whoever gets the big bites is the guy that wins anymore in the summertime on Okeechobee. If you don't have some big ones, you're not even going to come close to getting a check.
Well, you know, I looked at your angler profile on BassFan.com, and your favorite bait's the flapping shad, so that makes good sense.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I'm a big flipper, and I love to flip and pitch, but it's so exciting burning that flapping shad across the top of the water and across the grass and having a 7 or 8 pound fish come up through the grass and eat it on top. And when they explode on it, it's just really exciting. And it's, you know, there's no funner bait, if you will, than a flapping shad.
Well, you know, I guess we got to kind of change gears here a little bit. The FLW Tour, which you've been fishing for several years now and are a member of the Castrol team, it's got to be neat for you. I mean, you fish full-time, but you really don't fish full-time, and you're going out there and this year finished third in the points overall at the FLW Championship, and you got to be very proud of that placement.
Yeah, you know, I really am, Terry. I've had two good years in a row. Last year I was seventh overall, and this year I was third overall, so I've had two good years in a row, and I think, you know, there's a lot of variables in it. There's so many really good fishermen on the FLW Tour and on the BASS trails anymore. I mean, the fishermen are just, you know, so good that it's just hard to really do good. And so when you have two good years in a row, you know, it definitely made me proud. But I think, you know, a lot of it is that I've got some great sponsors, like you named Castrol and Ranger and Evinrude, and just so many good sponsors that I have that enable me to not really worry about the money side of it. And when I get out there, and, you know, I just kind of, I can go fishing. And so the good thing is, I think it took a few years to learn some of the lakes, and now I feel a lot more comfortable. We've been going back to the, you know, a lot of the lakes numerous times. So when you go to them, you know, three or four times, but by the third or fourth time with 3 days practice, you ought to know a little bit about the lake before you get there. And with 3 days, you know, I feel like I can compete. So I'm definitely, you know, I'm excited about last year, but I'm even more excited about the upcoming year. I'm really ready to go.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny you mention that, because the off-limits period at FLW, there is not an off-limits period. And when you think about it, you know, a lot of guys will go and spend maybe a week or two before the event. You're going for 3 days and have to find your fish in 3 days, so you're kind of at a disadvantage at times.
Yeah, you know, it definitely is a disadvantage. But like I said before, I mean, you and I have talked about this before, and I know there's a lot of pros, you know, have their opinions one way or another. I know you just did something about Denny talking about, you know, that one of the reasons why he doesn't fish FLW is because he'd be at a major disadvantage getting 3 days when there's guys out there for 2 weeks. But I think that there's, you know, there's definitely some reasons why I like no off limits, but then there's other reasons that I think that there should be an off limits. You know, 3 days fishing against other guys that have 2 weeks, yeah, that's definitely a disadvantage. But on the other hand, if you go on the BSS side and you have 3 days to practice, but you're going up against Denny Brower, who's fished, you know, these same lakes for years and years and years, it's hard to compete against Denny when he knows exactly where he wants to fish almost before he goes there. Not that he fishes the same things, but he knows what to look for. He knows when a cold front hits, you know, the differences. So I just think that I'm not saying that the no off limits, I'm not sure that I like that, but I also know that it, you know, it brings the rookie, if you will, back, that if the guy wants to spend a lot of time on the water, he can do that and he can be competitive. But it also makes other people at a disadvantage. So I'm not sure if there is a definite right rule or wrong rule. You know, it's just, that's kind of up to everybody's opinion. I see good and bad about both.
Well, it sure doesn't seem like it's hurt you in the last 2 years, because you've done so well. You know, I guess let's kind of go down the path a little bit with FLW. You know, that's a great organization. Irwin Jacobs just does a great job there. But, you know, there's a lot of controversy, I think, still surrounding the championship and how it's done, you know, the NCAA format. I mean, kind of give me your opinion on that. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, and I agree. And that's, again, it's going to be a personal preference. You know, I like the deal. It hasn't worked out too good for me the last 2 years. I've lost in the, you know, in the first round, if you will, both years. And, you know, 1 year I might have been able to squeak on and go into the next round had it been a total weight deal. But, you know, I tell you, I think it's exciting. It's, again, it's got its pros and cons, but it also, it should be interesting for the fans. You know, I think I played basketball in college, and I think there's not a better event, if you will, than the NCAAs and the Final Fours and everything else. And one of the reasons why it's so exciting is because you've got number 48 going up against number 1, or number 40 up against number whatever, you know, higher ranked. And it's neat to see what the underdog is, you know, is going to do. And I just think it's a neat format. And, you know, going into the format, what the, you know, what the rules are. And, you know, it can work to your advantage or it can work to your disadvantage. So I just think that, you know, it's just one of those things. I think it's exciting for the fishermen. It's exciting for the fans. I can't say one way or another, but, you know, it's never been good for me. But I also think that, you know, next year it may play to my advantage and I may could win the whole thing when, you know, when I may not have had the best weight. So I like the deal.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan Radio, and I look for great things for you again this year. Seventh 2 years ago, third last year, and I maybe Angler of the Year's in your future. I appreciate you being with me.
Well, I really appreciate it, Terry, and thanks for the call, and anytime I'd love to talk to you.
I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.